To the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. I'm kind of going off of a thing I was thinking about this week with Brother Wayne. You know, I was going to get to share just a few minutes. At the beginning, I was going to read the obit and share just a few words about eulogize Brother Wayne. And in his obituary, there was three words that really jumped out at me. And I won't kind of bring it into this lesson in this sermon this morning, but it's by God's grace. By God's grace. It was interesting talking to Wayne. If you ever talked to him much, you would ask him, "Wayne, how you doing?" And he would either say one of two things. He would say, "Well, I'm trying to do better." Or he would say, "It's going to get better." He would say one of those two things. And I was going to play off of those words. And I got to thinking, I was reading the obituary, and it says, by God's grace. It says that, and it went on to talk about Wayne. It said he was a devoted father and husband and faithful. You know, it talked about him. And so I built the little message I wanted to share around. Because of God's grace, we are who we are. Because of God's grace, this is how Wayne was blessed. He was a great business owner. He was a wonderful servant and treasurer in our church. He was a good father and grandfather and devoted husband. And I got to thinking about this is because of God's grace, we are who we are. So I want to read with you this morning. I want you to stand with me. Ephesians 1, we'll start in verse 7 through 10. Last week we talked about this mystery. And we talked about the mystery revealed and how we're to reveal this mystery of Christ. And now this morning it's kind of like it talks about the mystery. Once again, we see that the mystery made known. And I'm talking about the riches of Christ. The riches of His grace. The riches of His grace this morning. Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. If you would, join with me as we read this together. It says, in Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. So did you see that? We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, it says, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in heaven and things on earth. So we see here that He's lavishing the blessings upon us, this wisdom and insight, and He's making known to us the mystery of His will. Now, we talked last week, the mystery was Christ, in whom are all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We talked about the wisdom was all the mystery is also that the gospel is for the Gentiles, that all people can know and believe and have eternal life because of Christ. You may be seated and may God richly bless the reading and preaching of His word. There's also a passage, if Leah's got it here. I gave her a lot this morning, bless her heart, and she's already shorthand. Her dad's out of town and Amelia's out of town, and so Leah had a lot on her this morning, but if she has it, Ephesians 3, 1 through 10 also talks about this. Ephesians 3, 1 through 10, Paul says, for this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. He says, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has been now revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now look, listen, verse 6 says, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which is given me by the working of His power. Now he goes on to say, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles. Now look at this. The unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Guys, I want to tell you that this morning we're talking about the riches of His grace. I'm not calling you to make the mystery known. I want to continue to explain this glorious mystery that God has lavished His blessings on us in Christ Jesus, that He has bought us with His precious blood, that He's given us so many riches and things I'm going to show you in just a minute, things like He's seated us in the heavenlies. He's raised us. And He seated us in the heavenlies, and He sealed us by His Spirit. These are some things that we're going to draw out and make known to you this morning. But it says, He lavished upon us the riches of His grace, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. And it says, to unite all things in heaven, things on earth. And He goes on, it says, So we talked about the riches of His grace, and the mystery now made known is Christ and salvation to the Gentiles. So let's explore this. Let's look at this theme. In Ephesians 2, we're looking at salvation by God, rich in grace. Salvation by God, rich in grace. Look at verse 2, chapter 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. So look at this. Chapter 2, verse 5. It says, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, it said He made us alive together with Christ. So He made us alive together with Christ. He goes on to say in a minute, it makes me think, I always go to Lazarus when this happens. I always think about John 11 and Lazarus in the tomb and behind the rock, and Mary and Martha and everybody crying, and even Jesus weeping. And it got, Jesus, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died, and he would be here with us. And Jesus goes and He showed me the tomb, and He walks up and he says, roll back the stone. And then He says, Lazarus, come forth. Or Lazarus, arise. And what happens? His eyes come open. So everybody close your eyes. So now I'm going to say, we're made alive, and everybody open your eyes. We were made alive. Open your eyes. All right? So our eyes come full open. But the Bible goes on to say in Ephesians 1, verses 16 and 17, He says that what happens is, look at Ephesians 1, 16. It says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him. That says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. So when I think about made alive, I think about Lazarus. First thing he did, sure, his heart probably start beating again, but I just picture his eyes opening up, right? So in Christ, in part of that eternal blessings and the lavish riches that He poured on us, one of the things He did, He made us alive. We're no longer laying in a tomb. We're no longer going to face God's wrath and judgment. And in this bulletin right here that I had up here, I laid over there, we looked at last week, one of the questions of verse 42, the 42 of the catechism, it talked about believers in Christ. And now it's talking about believers at death. What do they face? Last week it was believers at death. This week it's unbelievers. Well, we know that believers have a lot to look forward to. At the great resurrection, at the coming back, when the dead in Christ are going to raise first, and those that remain are going to join with Him in the air, and we're going to be vindicated at God's judgment. Like, we're going to be in heaven for all eternity with Him. We're awaiting that new heavenly body. These are wonderful things. So part of those riches are having our eyes open. We've been made alive in Christ. That's what Paul's praying for, that they would continue to see, continue to know, continue to understand. Y'all, one of the things we have to keep teaching each other is the blessings we have in Christ Jesus. And that's why Ephesians is such a good book. These six chapters tell us about the indelible, amazing, wonderful, lavish riches we have in Christ. Ever get down, ever get a little depressed? Go read Ephesians 1, then Ephesians 2, then Ephesians 3. Keep reading all through Ephesians. And next thing you know, if you can understand and grasp the fact that Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you, and if you've accepted that and you've turned to Him in faith and repentance, then you will come alive. Your hearts and the eyes of your heart will be becoming more enlightened, and they'll open back up because you are filled with the riches we have in Christ. Made alive is the first thing. Lazarus, arise, wake up, come forth. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, it says that, look at verse chapter 2, verse 7. It says that with Him, we raised us up with Him and seated us with Him. Verse 7 of chapter 1 was what I was looking at. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. So because of Christ, because of His forgiveness, because of the redemption we have through His blood, we have been we experienced the ravished riches, the riches of His grace that He lavished upon us. Now, number two. All right, so, and it goes on to say in that back part, it says we're together with Christ. So there's an element of being made alive. It's not just one of us, or two of us, or three of us. All of those who know Christ have been made alive. That's why Jesus says, I'm the head and you are the body, but we are a living organism. We're no longer dead, we're no longer in our tombs, and we're no longer captive to our sin and shame and face going to face God's judgment. We are made alive. And it says, together with Christ. So there's this organism of the church that we are with, hidden with Jesus. And it says, by grace, you have been saved. So when we talk about the riches of His grace, part of that eyes opening, everybody open your eyes again, close them and open them. Part of that being made alive is experiencing God's grace. It says, you have, in a minute He speaks to say, you have been saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works, lest anyone should boast, right? So you didn't just one day say, man, I'm just going to decide to open my eyes up. You heard this cry of command from Christ, and He said, open your eyes. He illuminated you. I'm sure these catechisms will get into the great doctrine of illumination. Christ called you forth. Christ said, arise, and your eyes open. Now we're together with Christ. We're experiencing His blessings. All right? It says you have been saved by His grace. What is grace? Somebody tell me. Unmerited favor. So how do we get it? We got to merit it, right? Well, if it's unmerited favor, what did you do to experience God's grace? Nothing. So I don't know how we get prideful, haughty church members that say, look at me and look at oh so-and-so over there. I mean, it's like the publican and the sinner, right? The Pharisee and the tax collector. We're all on the level playing field. We all have our eyes shut. We're all in a tomb. And then God says, wake up, and our eyes open. And we're filled with humility and grace, and we worship. One of the things in our blessings of Christ is we are made alive. The second thing that we are experiencing is, number two, is we're risen with Christ and we're seated in the heavenlies. Now, I'll lump them together because I think the verses put them together. But He said, and raised us, we could have made them two separate points, but it says, and raised us up and seated us. Now, I like that because He raised us up high. Where did He raise us and where did He seat us? Those are some neat things to think about. You think, well, how did God raise us up? Where did He raise us up? Or to where did He raise us up? And on what did He seat us? Well, let's look at what Ephesians 2, 6 and 7 says. So it says, He seated us, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And it said, and raised us up with Him and seated us where? With Him. Both of those are with Him. He raised us up with Him. We're with Christ. We're seated where? With Christ. That's all I need to know right there, guys. I'm fine. I don't care where we are. If I'm seated with Christ, if I've been raised with Christ, I'm okay, right? You're okay. Good place to be. Raised with Christ, seated with Christ. It gets even better. It gets just as good, though. He still gives us where that is. We're seated with Him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Where's the heavenly places? I don't know. But as long as I'm with Christ, I don't care, right? That's a good place to be, right? You say, where we're going? I don't really know, but Jesus is with me. I'm okay going wherever Jesus is. Now, some of y'all are going to wander down some roads, and you're going to say, I know Jesus ain't on this road. All right? That's not a good place to be. But when you wander down a road and you know Jesus is with you, whether that's in a hospital room, whether that's at a visiting with a lost friend, if Jesus is with you, you're okay. You're okay. But it says He raised us up with Christ. He seated us with Christ. Now, so when I think about my friend Wayne, I think about when he says it's going to get better. He knew what he was talking about, didn't he? Why is it going to get better? Because he was experiencing the riches of Christ. He had trusted Jesus. He knew that his struggles were going to one day be filled with glory. He knew that the Romans 8, 18, where it says the present sufferings that we go through don't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in Christ. He knew that times were tough, things were hard, then bed sores were very painful. The oxygen he started wearing, the pain medicine he had to take, the infections he experienced, the catheters, all of that was painful. But he knew it was going to get better. Why? Because of the grace of Christ revealed upon him as being made alive then him being raised, then him being seated. Now, it gets even better. I'm going to tell you more about being seated and raised up with Christ. Look at verses 18 of chapter 1. So after I read you to 18b of Ephesians 1, look at what it says. It says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Now, guys, I'm starting to understand even more about where we're going to be raised to and where we're going to be seated. It says he raised Christ up and he seated at his right hand, and then it said he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And he goes on to tell where that is. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only on this age, in this age, but also in that one to come. And it says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things, to wit, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we've been made alive. Open your eyes. Now, everybody say, risen with Christ. And I guess I was trying to think of these motions because y'all like these little silly motions. So I do too. So everybody just point raised. All right. So we're made alive. We open our eyes. We're raised. We just kind of, you can raise your arms up or point up. We're raised. Now, I didn't know how to do seated. Y'all are seated right now. So I just thought we might could pat our bottoms or something, pat our back. We're seated. We're seated in the heavenlies. So we're made alive. We're raised. We're seated in the heavenlies. And it says, we're raised with Christ, and we're seated at the right hand of the Father where Jesus is. Now, guys, I'm telling you, this is a past, present, future. This is past, present, future. So don't ever visit the Church of God and tell them you can lose your salvation. Some of you good old Baptists, y'all may not know a lot of doctrines, but y'all can know that doctrine. Once saved, always saved, right? We hold to that. We believe that. Now, why is that? Because if somebody tells me I had a whole lot to do with my salvation, then you better have a, then it makes sense that you got a whole lot to do with keeping your salvation. But if you say, I was saved by God's unmerited favor, and by his grace, he said, Stephen, open your eyes, and we're our eyes come open, we're illuminated, and we believe by God's grace, he helped us believe it, says, then what do you have to do with trying to keep it? God keeps you, God holds you, God gives you that desire to read and to walk and to live and to. Sure, discipleship's important. But even in discipleship, God is going to move you toward this. God's going to help you grow in this. Why? Because you've thirsted. You've tasted something new. You want more of it. Right? So, we're made alive. Our eyes come open. We're raised. We're seated. It goes on to say this. So then in the coming, we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it says, so then in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. When my buddy Wayne says it's going to get better, he was just quoting Ephesians 1 right here. He just said it's going to get better because it says, in the coming ages, God's going to show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. If he loves his son and you're in Jesus, he loves you, right? Been made alive, you've been raised, you've been seated, you're in the heavenlies. The church, now I love this. This is chapter 3. We're going to a whole new chapter here. It says, the church is how God shows his wisdom to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And those rulers and authorities are actually holy and unholy angels. So if you'll look with me to chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. I love this right here. It says, and to bring to light everyone, it's talking about the unsearchable riches. Actually, back up to verse 8. To me, though I'm very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it says, and to bring to light, that's that illumination, that opening our eyes, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Y'all, this is pretty neat to me because you know why God made you alive? Do you know why God raised you up with Jesus? When you think about raised, I can't think about you being raised up without thinking about Jesus being raised up, right? I can't think about anything. I think about the baptistry and the dead and then the raised, the new birth. But when we're raised up, it says the church is the manifold wisdom of God to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I thought, that's amazing. That you being made alive, you being raised, you being seated is now a powerful message that leads to greater worship to the holy angels around the throne right now. But also, it's a powerful display of God's power to the unholy angels that are going to, like we just talked about, when Satan is the first one cast into Hades and eternal torment, and then his cronies are casting right behind him. Right now, we're making that known because by God's grace, there are people coming alive. By God's grace, there are eyes being opened. By God's grace, people are being raised up to the right hand of the Father, seated where Jesus is seated in the heavenly places. And it says the church, this organism, where it says that Jesus is the head of the church. He is above all rule and authority, and everyone's going to submit to Him. And He being the head, we're the body. And so He's the head, we're the body, we're this living organism of these people that have been made alive, and that we are the manifold wisdom of God being made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God's grace. The riches of God's grace. You've been seated. You've been raised. Excuse me. You've been made alive. You've been raised. You've been seated in the heavenly places. That ought to give you confidence. It ought to strengthen your faith. It ought to give you grounding and assurance. It ought to move you to be able to share this with others. It ought to make you strong when Satan tempts you. It's the mystery now being revealed like it's never been revealed before. Matter of fact, in Paul in Ephesians 3, that's actually what he's saying. He's saying this mystery, I'm a prisoner. He says, and I was given this stewardship by God's grace that was given to me, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. He says, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations. Do you realize none of the prophets understood it like Paul is revealing it right now? Even Abraham, which was the first glimpse of the mystery, he didn't understand it like Paul's revealing it right now. It says, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It says, the mystery that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So when we talk about the body of believers, this mystery being revealed is the fact that we are Gentiles. We were on the outside looking in. Matter of fact, in Ephesians 2, verse 11, he says, therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Guys, that beautiful mystery that's being made known is that the good news of Christ is here, and that all people, the body of Christ has no color, it has no certain amount of money people make, it has no certain way people live, what size house you got. This glorious body of believers has to do with all people. No matter what color, ethnicity, how much money, when they call on the name of the Lord and they believe through faith, they're saved in Christ. This was kind of new. This was kind of the mystery being now revealed like it had never been revealed, that Gentiles, Cornelius in Acts 10, one of the first ones we get wind of, that all of his household can now be saved. The good news of the gospel. We're made alive. We are raised up. We are seated. And lastly, You know, just as I made that last point, Jesus is head of the church, and the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And we'll just stop there because of time. But in chapter 3, the third last point, remember I had the first point was we were made alive. The second point was we were risen with Christ, seated in the heavenlies. And the third point, and it comes from a different passage, but it's seated with him, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, verses 13 and 14, Paul, as he's praying for them, or he's actually prayed for them, and he talks about an inheritance that we've received. He goes on in verse 13, he says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, and we acquire possession of it to the praise of the glory, of the praise of his glory." So lastly, after being made alive, after being raised, after being seated, lastly, we're sealed with his Holy Spirit. And that's something that we know. Romans teaches this all throughout the scriptures. We see that we're sealed. It's a guarantee. Your guarantor is the first time. It's like the earnest money. It's like the little foretaste of like the future blessings. Like we have an inheritance. A glimpse of that inheritance is, hey, let me give you a few a few hundred thousand dollars. But the riches coming is like lavish compared to what little taste you're getting of the inheritance. Right. The Holy Spirit was a deposit, it was a protection, it was a sealing of believers, it came upon conversion, and it says in him you've obtained this inheritance, and you're sealed by God's Spirit upon your conversion. So not only is there being this made alive, not only is this being raised in the heavenlies, not only is this seated in the heavenlies, but then there's this protection, this sealing that takes place. And we see that in these verses. It says there that when you heard the gospel, the word of truth of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It says, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So, guys, I tell you these things so that you may be strengthened, strong, complete, alive, that you may live like you're raised, that you may live like you're in the heavenlies, because there's a sense where you're already there. Salvation is already, but not yet. You've been saved, you're being saved, you will be saved. There's also a picture here of when you're saved, when you believe by faith, that unmerited favor that God's riches, his grace, he pours upon you in Christ Jesus. You were adopted in the family. You were justified, meaning it's just as if you've never sinned. You were clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. You were made alive. You were raised in the heavenlies. You were seated in the heavenlies. You're sealed by God's Spirit. And so, live like it. Live with victory. Live with assurance. Live looking toward the hope you have in Jesus. Live allowing God to fill you with these promises. When you're gloom and doom and when you're down and out, go to the riches of God's Word. That's why we need each other. We need encouragement. We need God's Word. Why is it that we often live like we're defeated when we're so rich? You know that there's a lot of millionaires that we know that seem to be so miserable. And I suppose on this earth you can be a millionaire. I know for a fact you can be a millionaire and be very miserable. But guys, to be a child of God, to obtain the promises and the blessings that I just walked through 25, 30 minutes of our life sharing with you guys, you can't walk around depressed and know and understand these in your heart. You can't. Now I know depression is a real thing, and I suppose that when these chemicals that your brain's supposed to get, you don't get them, I suppose you can lose sight. I suppose that you can, it's medically possible for you to go through difficulty, but guys, when you're sitting around singing about Christ and his wonder and his beauty and his blessings, and when we're preaching God's word, and I pray that this is strengthening your heart. And if it's not, maybe you've never experienced God's grace. Maybe God's not poured his love into your hearts, like Romans says, that's what happens upon your conversion. Maybe when you come to faith and understanding, and it says that the riches of the mystery is like knowledge and wisdom. It says that Christ associates Christ with personified as wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So upon your feeling of, you know, we base a lot on feelings. But before you're going to experience feelings, you're going to enjoy and know and understand the facts. Because the facts of conversion, the facts of Christ, the facts of salvation and the mystery and the glory and His love for you, and by you turning to Him and repenting of your sin, those things yield feelings of God's blessings and assurance upon your salvation. But you have to process the truth. And processing it is what we're doing now. And if you've processed it, there should be real joy in your heart, in your mind, and soul. It should bring meaning and purpose to your life and your step and your motivation and your family and your dealings with people and your business. It should. And so in my little slight application here toward the end is, if you've been made alive, you ought to be breathing. If you've been raised in the heavenlies where Jesus is, you ought to look a certain way. If you've been seated there at the right hand where all authority has and exists in the person and work of Jesus Christ, then you ought to have a little authority according to God's Word. If you're part of the body and family of Jesus that Jesus is the head of, there ought to be some life coming from the head. And if there's a sealing that took place in your life by God's Holy Spirit, remember the fruits of God's Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These things ought to be present in your life in some way, shape, form, or fashion. The way you serve, the way you love, the way you care. And some of you guys, it blessed my heart to see a Sunday school class bring a collection to help with Miss Linda Nash and all of her going up and down the interstate. It blessed my heart this week to see, I didn't get to see all the food, but I could just picture all the food that y'all had back here for the Coots family. That's loving one another. That's caring for one another. Last night, Miss Pat and Mr. Bob brought us by some barbecue and a chocolate cake. I'm actually going to eat it today, Miss Pat. I'm actually going to eat some more of it today. That's loving one another. That's caring about one another. It's being a blessing to each other. That's the fruits of the what's coming from Christ living in you, being sealed by His Spirit, made alive, raised, seated. I close with this benediction. Ephesians 3:14-20. Paul writing, he says he's praying for these people. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Father, we love You and we thank You for Your Word, for Your power, Lord, for the hope that we have. We thank You that upon salvation, by Your unmerited favor, Your grace lavishly poured upon us, God, we have been made alive, God. We've been raised, we've been seated, we've been sealed. And God, now we are Yours for all eternity. We are in the heavenlies. We are identified with You. We have been purchased. God, we, like Paul says, that he's in prison, he's in chains, God, but even in that, he's rejoicing, he's worshiping, he's giving thanks because he knows, as a friend says, it's going to get better. But God, we are experiencing joy even now. We thank You for the hope we have, because the tomb is empty, and as Christ was raised, we've been raised. As Christ was seated at the right hand, we've been seated at Your right hand in the heavenlies. God, we've been given Your sealing, Your guarantee, the Holy Spirit who protects us and comforts us in times and difficulties, God. We thank You for those promises. The mystery has been made known, and we thank You for that, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as Brother Vaughn leads us in a hymn of invitation, a hymn of decision? You respond as the Lord leads.
Take my life.
Let's close in prayer. And Brother Jerry, would you close us in prayer?